precious seed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just bow our heads briefly this morning? And we'll just pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege to share your word. Thank you, Father, because your word in itself is powerful, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. Thank you because your word is effective in those who believe. And so, Father, I do not have any confidence in the words that I will speak, but in the power of your word to make a difference in the lives of all who will hear. And so I thank you, O God, because through these words, your people will encounter you and hear the voice of your spirit in their hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the change that will occur. Thank you, Father, for the transformation that will take place in our lives and in our hearts as we listen to your word. We bless you, Father. We give you glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. Acts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing on our series. What's the major theme we've been talking about in church? Fantastic. The community of grace. And so we'll be continuing this morning along the same line. You know, I usually like to tell you some stories, yeah? Okay. I'm not telling you any personal story this morning. We'll just read some stories from the book of Acts, and then I'll say what God has laid in my heart to say. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. This morning during the Bible study, as some people started talking, I thought, oh, they are probably going to preach my message. But somehow they didn't. Not exactly. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read from verse 10. Acts chapter 9 from verse 10. I always read from the NIV. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go! This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Hallelujah. Then just go a few chapters. What is the biblical definition of few? Few. What is the biblical definition of few? No, biblical. Is there any scripture that mentions few and then tells us a number? That's Bible trivia. Have you ever read 1 Peter? When it says Noah's Ark to the saving of a few, that is eight. Okay, all right. Acts chapter 18. Just a few verses, a few chapters from Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 18. That's why it's good to come to church when many people don't come. At least now you know the biblical definition of few. So the next time I ask the question, you'll be able to say, eight. You know. Anyway, Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Unfortunately, this message is going to be recorded. And so people who are not here will still have a chance to listen. You know, if I were God, I think I'll be Acts chapter 18, yeah. Acts chapter 18 from verse 23. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Hallelujah. You may wonder, what do these two stories have to do with each other? One about Ananias and Paul, the other about Apollos and his encounter with Priscilla and Aquila. I'm saying only one thing in my message today. You know, usually I'll have like 5 points, right? Today I only have 1 point. And the point is, everyone is important. In the community of grace, everyone is important. The portion of scripture that is dedicated to Ananias is just 9 verses, maybe 11. Sometime in Acts chapter 22, Paul recounted what happened to him, and he mentioned Ananias again. When he was recounting the story in Acts chapter 26, he did not even mention Ananias by name. Priscilla and Aquila, we probably know more about them because from the beginning of Acts chapter 18, we're introduced to them as being the kinsmen of Paul and that they were also tent makers. And so we have a whole chapter that in some way mentions Priscilla and Aquila. And then in one of Paul's epistles, I think he was in the one to Corinth, to the Corinthians, he mentioned and said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." But apart from that, you don't hear anything else about them. These people are, you know, I'm always talking about books that I should have written or books that I've written somewhere in my heart. These three characters, Ananias, Priscilla, and Aquila, and many more, form part of the book that I will write, that I will title The Unknown Heroes of the Bible. These people just came briefly, occupied very, very few verses of scripture, and then practically faded away into obscurity. We don't know much about them anymore. But then when you look closely at the roles that they played in the events that are described for us in scripture, you find out that these people played very, 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 very significant roles. In church history, they say Ananias, you know, this was much later. They now, well, people feel they just concocted the story. They now say that Ananias was one of the 70 disciples of Jesus. And that eventually Ananias became the bishop of Damascus. And that eventually Ananias died as a martyr. Priscilla and Aquila, we don't really know much about them. Save the fact that it appeared that Priscilla, the wife, was the more vocal of the two. You know, usually when you're going to call people's names, you say Mr. and Mrs. Okulalu. You say Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Adewe. You say... You know, it's very strange when you give examples. It's strange the things that people pick from the examples. Anyway, I was going to say Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Joshua.
Yeah.
You think the man is going to remain celibate forever? No. But in this case, you weren't hearing Aquila and Priscilla. Rather, what you were hearing was Priscilla and Aquila, giving a picture that the woman was probably the one that was more vocal, the one that was more active. Not necessarily as we would expect, where is the man that is the more vocal of the two? Ananias, that fades away completely into oblivion, played a role in speaking to the man who then became the super apostle, the one who led great evangelistic missionary trips, and the one to whom we owe a majority of the New Testament writing. Until today, the effect of what Paul did in his life still speaks to today. But there was Ananias, who we don't remember, but I'm sure heaven remembers. Apollos became such a vibrant teacher and defender of the truth that some people believe he was the one that wrote Hebrews. Even if you don't believe he wrote Hebrews, Apollos became so important in Corinth that when there were going to be fractions and they were going to set up parties, they put Apollos on the same pedestal as Peter and Paul. And yet, Apollos arrived in Ephesus as one who knew only the baptism of John. And it was this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, that taught him the way of the Lord more diligently. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? The life of Paul without the influence of Ananias, or the life of Apollos without Priscilla and Aquila. Many times we only see people and only remember people based on their prominence and how well they talk and how visible they are, but we fail to recognize the important role that other people play, people who are probably in the background. That's why, you know, there's this book, there's this set of books, it's called God's Generals. It's good to write that book, it's good to read that book, but it's wrong to assume that those people mentioned in those books are God's own, are the only generals that God has. Very, very far from it. Tell your neighbor, everyone is important. Last week, I had the privilege to go to Children's Church for a part of the service. And I was marveled at the way our children's church teachers handle those children. I could see the vibrancy and the joy in the hearts of the children as they interacted with their children's church teacher. They were talking about how their week was. And she was like, so what happened during your week? Can you tell us something important, something fantastic? And they said, oh, you know, on Wednesday, I wrote an exam and I did very well. I just give glory to God. And then the other child said, I learned how to weave with mats and straws. It's like, yeah. And then the other one said, I was not feeling fine during the week, and now I'm well, and I just give glory to God. And she was teaching them about the church as a body, and she was like, okay, so how do we show love to one another? And these children kept talking and talking, and I was like,
Wow. And I just thank God for the grace of God upon our life. Because I'm so sure if you had left me with those children. I was once asked to preach to a set of school children. This was way back. Yes, maybe now I'd have handled it better. But this was way back. How many years ago? Maybe. Sorry, I'm just trying to calculate. 15 years ago. I went to FGGC Ogbomosho. I spent 1.5 terms in that school. And so someone met me, someone who had finished from that school. And so he was like, "Pastor, come and preach to these children." And then, so I was asked to speak. And I spent 45 minutes quoting scriptures. By the time I was like halfway done, like half of them were asleep. And I knew that the children's ministry is not my ministry. How many of you were here yesterday at Heart of Worship? And you saw the way the choir was powerfully ministering to us. But do you know that every aspect of the choir is crucially important in the output that you hear? If the drummer decides to just have an off day, or if one string in that guitar is wrongly tuned, or if one key, how many keys are on your keyboard, Samuel? This one, not the grand piano. 30-something, right? So if just one key of the 30-something keys goes out of place, then it means the whole thing that the whole choir is doing just goes out of point. It helps you start to see how vitally important everybody is. Tell your neighbor again, everyone is important. Welcome for those who are just arriving. You are crucially important in this service. We're so glad you made it. And the rest of the time, I know you would also enjoy some benefit of our time together. Hallelujah. Amen. The most frequently used metaphor that you find in scripture concerning the church is the concept of the body. You find it several times repeated in scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5. And in several other portions of scripture, you would see it recurring over and over and over. Can we read one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You may not need to wait to read my book. You can start to study yourself the unknown heroes of the New Testament. In fact, if you go to the Old Testament, there are many unknown heroes. Let me just point one to you. Remember when Pharaoh was ordering that the Hebrew women should kill the sons? Remember? There were two unnamed Hebrew nurses, women who were taking deliveries. Again, as usual in church history, they've given them names. They found two names for them. I can't remember what those names are. These two women, when those Hebrew women would give birth, they would quickly, set it up and let these women go. And Pharaoh would say, what happened? Say, these women are too strong, Before we get there, they've even given birth and, everything has gone. Without those two Hebrew women, Moses would not have survived to be the deliverer of the Israelites. We remember Moses now. But those two women, you don't even know who they are. But like I said, heaven knows. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope that has increased your interest in my book that is yet to be written.
Of course, that was a joke, right? How important do you consider yourself? Do you look at yourself as just someone who just comes, who is just there? I'm not really important, you know. After all, I'm not the pastor of this church. After all, I've not been ordained a minister. After all, God has not given me a vision to reach the nations. After all, you know, I can't even quote a scripture right. After all, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read an extended portion of that, of this passage. From verse 12. Since the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it will not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Hallelujah. Amen. Obviously, from verse 29, when Paul starts to ask the question, are all prophets? Are all apostles? It's a rhetorical question. And the obvious answer is a no. Because we are not all the same. You know, sometimes I realize, especially for people who have specific ministry gifts, they would really like every other person to be like them. And so perhaps Shola would really, really, really like everybody in church to be able to sing in the choir. You know, they always try to do that. They always try to form the church into a choir, like he did yesterday, asking us to sing some parts and others to sing some parts. At least he didn't ask us to sing in treble and alto and soprano. Otherwise, some people would have been looking at you cross-eyed. What does that mean? You know? And you know, some people who are perhaps pastors would like to make every other person a pastor. People who are prophets would like to make every other person a prophet. And you know, in fact, sometimes it's such a huge squabble between the prophet and the pastor. Because many times, you know, prophets are very, very energetic. And they would like everything to be done in the spirit of haste. Right now, it must be done. But you know, the pastor is very gentle. And he says, oh no, we have to do this. And you know, and the prophet says, no, the fire of God. But you see, the truth is, we are unique. Tell your neighbor you are unique. Tell your neighbor you are special. You know, I heard people say, you know, I'm just a special kid. Yes, all of us in Christ are special. All of us in Christ are unique. Uniquely gifted. Uniquely crafted by God. With special, you know, special experiences that he has made us go through. Different things that he has made us go through in life. Specific spiritual gifts that make us just who we are. And because we are that special and unique, we are different. But this is the point of today's sermon. It's not just that the fact that we are different, but that every single person in Christ is important. Sometimes, because we are not in the prominent place, because we are not at the forefront, or maybe sometimes because our roles are not as popularized or made public like those of the ministers in front, we assume to ourselves that we are not important. We assume to ourselves that it's not really, it doesn't really matter what I do. It doesn't really matter my role. Oh, I'm just an usher. Oh, in fact, I'm just a bench warmer. The truth of the matter is that in Christ Jesus, every single person is important. And he has a role and he plays an importance, not only to us, but sometimes in the way we see other people. Tell your neighbor, never look down on yourself. But can you also tell your neighbor, never look down on somebody else? I remember years back, I just joined World Herald Assembly. This was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, really? Wow. 1997, I joined Word Herald Assembly. In fact, the way I joined Word Herald Assembly was, I told people I was looking for Word Herald Assembly. And people said, well, they didn't know which fellowship that was. And so one day, I was walking past a meeting venue in my hall of residence. And so I heard people singing a song. They're singing a song. I can't remember the song particularly. So I just said, let me check what's happening there. And then I saw the banner, Word Herald Assembly. So I went back upstairs and changed my slippers to a pair of sandals. And so I went back there. And then at the end of the meeting, I approached, I think it was Dr. Kojeku, Demola Kojeku. His face seemed to be the friendliest of all. So I approached him and I said, good evening, my name is Yinkaolojo. Aburonjo. And then immediately everybody heard that. They were like, wow, 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 wow. And everybody came around and like, Aburonjo. So, okay, yeah. And I left and went back upstairs. And then the people that I told I was looking for Word Herald Assembly, I told them, well, I found Word Herald Assembly. They said, that fellowship? I said, but you said you didn't know the fellowship before. Apparently they knew the fellowship, but they didn't want me to go, you know. Anyway. I'm going somewhere. So when I joined the fellowship, remember, the first person I met was Demola Kojeku, but he was a medical student. And then I kept going. Subsequently, I met Bola Akinola. Then I kept going. And then I met Pastor Francis. I kept going. Then I met Pastor Abbey. I kept going. And then there was the Friday. They said, we're going to have School of the Word. School of the Word. And there were questions. Well, that was question and answer.
And these were asking questions and giving answers that I felt were very, very strange, you know. I'd read some material that seemed to tally with the things they were saying, but I think they asked me to answer a question. I was like, sorry, I can't answer that question. A few weeks after that, I had the opportunity to speak with one of them. I won't mention any names, yeah? So you know it's not any of the people that I've mentioned. Not necessarily. But I had the opportunity to have a one-on-one discussion with one of them. And subsequently, after that discussion, now these guys were 4 or 5 years older than I am. But subsequently, after that discussion, he took me as a friend. And then we started spending a lot of time together. In fact, okay, I will mention another name. Tolu Jack. Tolu Jack was my classmate. But I didn't know him until that School of the Word. I won't tell you what he was wearing at that School of the Word. And but the three of us became friends. We were in 100 level. He was in 400 level. And we used to talk. In fact, we used to roll all over the place together. Some people thought he was still in 100 level. He was in final year. And we just used to discuss everything. You know, a verse of scripture, I'll say, so what does this verse of scripture mean? And he'll be like, no, read it now. So what do you think? I'm like, no, I don't agree with you. And I was in 100 level. He was in 400 level. He was a pastor in the fellowship. I was a newcomer in the fellowship. And we kept talking. Our relationship got stronger. Who I am today is because of the interactions I had with him. And here I am, pastoring a church. He's not pastoring a church. He's just a member of a church. But I will never forget the impact that he had in my life and how he could see this joking 100 level student that couldn't even answer a single question in School of the Word, and how he just accepted to make us, myself and Tolu Jack, his friends, and become such a major influence in our lives up till today. It was because somehow he didn't look down on us and just say, well, these guys are, you know, shebe. Have you heard that before? Maybe some of you have never heard that. Are we mates? Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you may be the next pastor of TGC. So you see. Okay, so you may be the next pastor of another church. Tell your neighbor. They like that, eh? Let's go back. Go back to the book of Acts. Acts. I'm going back to Acts chapter 9, where we started. Look at verse 13. Ananias saw a vision. He knew he was the Lord. He knew. But look at verse 13. Ananias is bargaining with God. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man.
and the harm and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. It's one of two things. Is it Ananias was preserving his own life to say, if I go and meet this guy, hey. Or Ananias is saying, this guy is so bad that Lord, I'm not sure. Lord, are you sure this is the guy? Because see what God then says. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument. So it appears that part of what have been the concern in the heart of Ananias is that this guy is too bad. Lord, are you sure this is the man you want me to go? And God had to reassure him that this same man that you call bad is the one that I have chosen as my instrument to carry my name. Tell your neighbor, never look down on anybody else. I said I'll make only one point, right? Have I made that point? You are important. Everyone in the church of God is important. Never look down on yourself. Never look down on anybody else. I have to make a second point. Play your part and allow others to play their part. Play your part and allow others to play their part. Identify what God has called you to do. Stick to it. Do it with all obedience, with all faithfulness, and then be gracious enough to allow others who may be very, very different from you to play the role that they are supposed to play. Allow them to play their part because every single person is important. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. Wait, raise your heads. Raise your heads. 1 minute. In Bible study, a few weeks ago, we said that we wanted everybody to write their mission statement. How many of us have written? Okay, yes, I know, sir. Okay. How many of us did not hear that announcement? You weren't aware. Okay, all right. So, we've been studying the life of Apostle Paul. And I think this sermon again brings that to light. And we recognize that in the life of Apostle Paul, he recognized that God had called him for a specific task. And he went about the whole of his life focused on achieving that. He wasn't beating the air wildly. He was targeted at what he believed God had called him to do. And he put all his heart in it. And so we said from the pastorate, we would like every member of this church to write down in their own words what they see and recognize as God's own specific purpose for their lives, which we've called a mission or a vision statement, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, we want you to write it down and submit it to the pastors. It's important, right? Let's bow our heads. I want you to take some time to just think, you know. Think of this message. Think of what has come to your heart. And in any which way, the Holy Spirit is inspiring you and speaking to your heart. How well have you considered yourself to be important in the church, perhaps in this local assembly, or even in the body of Christ at large? Have you always considered yourself to be just one making up the number, or as unimportant in God's eyes? Like I've said, there are many people who may not be so prominent and do not occupy the public roles. But the truth of the matter, as we've heard this morning and as we've learned this morning, is that every single person is important. Just like in the body, just like in a human body. Different parts of the body making up a single whole, but every part playing its role. Even the hair in our nostrils or the hair in our ears have a function and a role that they play, as insignificant and as tiny as they seem. Every part, none is without a function, and none is without a role that it plays in the health of the body. And so this morning, I mean, just think about yourself and think about how you also relate with others. And allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to your heart and to bring you to the awareness of the things that you ought to be doing, the attitudes you ought to have towards yourself and towards the body of Christ. In the community of grace, everyone is important. Everyone has a role. No matter how prominent or behind the scenes they may be. Mighty God, we thank you. We bless your name. We thank you for a time of sharing your word. We thank you for a time of going through your word. Thank you because I trust that this morning there's a reawakening in our hearts of our significance in the body. I thank you, Father, because this morning I trust you that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every heart, reminding us of our roles, reminding us of the importance of the places and the locations in which you have placed us, of our function and of the parts that we ought to play. And I thank you, O God, because there's an increasing consciousness of what you have called us to do, of all the abilities that you've placed within us, all the resources that you have invested in us. And thank you, O God, because subsequently, from now henceforth, there's a renewed drive and desire in our hearts to follow after you, and to be the people that you have called us to be. We give you glory and praise, Father. We worship you, Lord.
The message you have just listened to is from the Grace Community Church, located at 12 Salako Crescent, Ogba, Lagos.
Our service times are Sundays 9 a.m. and Wednesdays 6 p.m. We look forward to having you worship with us. Our Twitter handle, at TGCC Online. You can also reach us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Grace Community Church.
We would love to hear from you. Thank you. Thank you.